Well said, my noble Scott. If speaking truth in this fine age were not thought flattery, such attribution should the Douglas have, as not a soldier of this season's stamp should go so general current through the world. By God, I cannot flatter. I do defy the tongues of soothers, but a braver place in my heart's love hath no man than yourself.
No.
Nay, task me to my word. Approve me, Lord.
Thou art the king of honor. No man more potent breathes upon the ground, but I will beard him.
Do so, and 'tis well. What letters hast thou there? I can but thank you.
These letters come from your father.
Letters from him? Why comes he not himself?
He cannot come, my lord. He is grievous sick.
Sooth, how has he the leisure to be sick in such a jostling time? Who leads his power? Under whose government come they along?
His letters bear his mind, my lord, not I.
I pray thee, tell me, doth he keep his bed?
He did, my lord, 4 days ere I set forth. And at the time of my departure thence, he was much feared by his physicians.
Oh, would the state of time had first been holy, he by sickness had been visited. His health was never better worth than now.
Sick now. Droop now! This sickness doth infect the very lifeblood of our enterprise, this catching hither even to our camp. He writes me here that inward sickness... and that his friends could not by deputation so soon be drawn. Nor did he think it meet to lay so dangerous and dear a trust on any soul removed but on his own. Yet doth he give us bold advertisement that with our small conjunction we should on to see how fortune is disposed to us. For as he writes, there is no quailing now, because the king is suddenly possessed of all our purposes. What say you to her?
Father's sickness is a maimed.
A perilous gash of every limb. Lopped off. And yet in faith it is not. I rather of his absence make this use. It lends a luster and more great opinion, a larger dare to our great enterprise than if the Earl were here. For men must think if we without his help can make a head to push against a kingdom, with his help we cannot turn it topsy-turvy down. Yet all goes well, yet all our joints are whole.
As heart can think, there's not a word spoke of in Scotland as this term of fear.
My cousin Vernon, welcome by my soul.
Pray God my news be worth a welcome, Lord. The Earl of Westmorland, 7,000 strong, is marching hitherwards with him Prince John.
No harm? What more?
And further I've learned, the king himself in person is set for hitherwards intended speedily with strong and mighty preparation.
He shall be welcome too. Where is his son? The nimble-footed madcap Prince of Wales. And his comrades that daff the world aside and bid it pass.
All furnished, all in arms. All plumed like estridges that with the wind baited, like eagles having lately bathed. Glittering in golden coats like images. As full of spirit as the month of May and gorgeous as the sun at midsummer. Wanton as youthful goats, wild as young bulls. I saw young Harry with his beaver on, his cushies on his thighs, gallantly armed, rise from the ground like feathered mercury and vaulted with such ease into his seat as if an angel dropped down from the clouds to turn and wind a fiery Pegasus and witch the world with noble horsemanship.
Worse than the sun in March, this praise doth nourish agues. Let them come! They come like sacrifices in their trim. Under the fire-eyed maid of smoky war, all hot and bleeding, shall we offer them. The mailed Mars shall on his altar sit up to the ears in blood. I am on fire to hear this rich reprisal is so nigh, and yet not ours. Come! Let me taste my horse! Who is to bear me like a thunderbolt against the bosom of the Prince of Wales? Harry to Harry shall hot horse to horse meet and ne'er part till one drop down a corse. Oh, that Glendower were come!
There is more news. I learned in Worcester as I rode along he cannot draw his power this 14 days.
These are the worst tidings I hear of yet.
By my faith, that bears a frosty sound.
What may the king's whole battle reach unto?
To 30,000.
40 let it be. My father and Glendower being both away, the powers of us may serve so great a day. Come, let us take a muster speedily.
Doomsday is near. Die all. Die merrily.
Talk not of dying. I'm out of fear of death or death's hand. This one half year.
Bad off it. Get thee before to Coventry. Fill me a bottle of sack. Our soldiers shall march through. We'll to Sutton Coldfield tonight. Bid my Lieutenant Peter meet me at the town's end. Will you give me money, Captain? Lay out.
Oh, well, this bottle makes nine, Joe.
If you take it for thy labour, and if it makes 20, take them all. I'll answer the question.
I will, Captain. Farewell!
If I be not ashamed of my soldiers, I'm a soused gurnet. I have misused the king's press damnably. I have got, in exchange of 150 soldiers, 300-odd pound. I press me none but good householders, yeoman's sons, inquired me out contracted bachelors, such as have been asked twice on the bands, such a commodity of warm slaves as had as lief hear the devil as a drum, such as fear the report of a caliver worse than a struck fowl or a hurt wild duck. I press me none but such toothsome butter, with hearts in their bellies no bigger than pins' heads, and they have bought out their services. And now my whole charge consists of discarded unjust serving men, the younger sons of younger brothers, revolted tapsters and ostlers trade-fallen, the cankers of a calm world and a long peace, such of I to fill up the room as them that have bought out their services, that you'd think I had 150 tattered prodigals lately come from swine-keeping, from eating draff and husks. A mad fellow met me on the way and told me I'd unloaded all the gibbets and pressed the dead bodies. No eye has seen such scarecrows. I'll not march through Coventry with them, that's flat. Well,
how?
How now, man, wag! What a devil to sell in Warwickshire! Oh, my Lord of Westmoreland, I cry your honour mercy. I thought you'd already been at Shrewsbury.
In faith, Sir John, 'tis more than time that I were there, and you too. But my powers are there already. King, I can tell you, looks for us all. We must away all night.
Oh, Tutman, never fear me. I'm as vigilant as a cat to steal cream.
I think to steal cream indeed, for thy death hath already made thee butter. But tell me, Jack, whose fellows are these?
Mine.
I'll never see such pitiful rascals.
Oh, tut-tut, man, good enough to toss. Food for powder. Well, they'll fill a pit as well as better. Tosh, man, mortal men.
Nay, but Sir John, methinks they're exceeding poor and bare, too beggarly.
Oh, faith, poverty, I know not how they came by that, and for their bareness, I'm sure they never learned that of me.
No, I'll be sworn unless you go 3 fingers in the ribs bare. Sir, make haste.
What?
Percy is already in the field.
What? Is the king encamped?
Here, Sir John, I fear we shall stay too long.
Well, to the latter end of a fray and the beginning of a feast fits a dull fighter and a keen guest.
We'll fight with him tonight.
May not be. You
give him an advantage.
Not a whit. I say you so look seen out for supply.
But so do we.
This is certain.
Ours is doubtful. Good cousin, be advised, stir not tonight.
Do not, my lord. You do not counsel well.
You speak it out of fear and cold heart.
Do me no slander, Douglas. By my life, and I dare well maintain it with my life, if well-respected honor prick me on, I hold as little counsel with weak fear as you, my lord, or any Scot that this day lives. Let it be seen tomorrow in the battle which of us fears.
Yeah? Or tonight?
John Tent. Tonight, say I. Come, it may not be. I do wonder much, being men of such great leading as you are, that you foresee not what impediments drag back our expedition. Certain horse of my cousin Vernon's are not yet come up. Your Uncle Worcester's horse came but today, and now their pride and mettle is asleep. Their courage with hard labor, tame and dull. They're not a horse, he's half for half himself.
So are the horses of the enemy in general, journey baited and brought low. The better part of ours are full of rest.
The number of the king exceedeth ours. For God's sake, cousin State, you'll all come in.
I come with gracious offers from the king. If you vouchsafe me hearing and respect.
Welcome, Sir Walter Blunt. And would to God you were of our determination. Some of us love you well. And even though some envy your great deservings and good name because you're not of our quality, but stand against us like an enemy.
And God defend, but still I should stand so. So long as out of limit and true rule you stand against, anointed majesty. But to my charge. The king hath sent to know the nature of your griefs, and whereupon you conjure from the breast of civil peace such bold hostility, teaching his duteous land audacious cruelty. If that the king have any way your just deserts forgot, which he confesseth to be manifold, he bids you name your griefs, and with all speed you shall have your desires with interest, and pardon absolute for yourself, and these herein misled by your suggestion.
The king is kind, and well we know the king knows at what time to promise, when to pay. My father and my uncle and myself did give him that same royalty he wears. And when he was not 26 strong, sick in the world's regard, wretched and low, a poor unminded outlaw sneaking home, my father gave him welcome to the shore. And when he heard him swear and vow to God, he came but to be Duke of Lancaster, to sue his livery and beg his peace with tears of innocency and terms of zeal. My father, in kind heart and pity moved, swore him assistance and performed it too. And when the lords and barons of the realm perceived Northumberland did lean to him, the more and less came in with cap and knee, met him in boroughs, cities, villages, attended him on bridges, stood in lanes, laid gifts before him, proffered him their oaths, gave him their heirs as pages, followed him even at the heels in golden multitudes. He presently, as greatness knows itself, steps me a little higher than his vow made to my father while his blood was poor upon the naked shore of Ravenspur. And now, forsooth, takes on him to reform some certain edicts and some strict decrees that lie too heavy on the Commonwealth. Cries out upon abuses, seems to weep over his country's wrongs, and by this face, this seeming brow of justice, did he win the hearts of all that he did angle for. Proceeded further. Cuts me off the heads of all the favorites of the absent king in deputation left behind him here, while he was personal in the Irish wars.
Tut! I came not to hear this.
Then to the point. In short time after he deposed the king, soon after that deprived him of his life, and in the neck of that, tasked the whole state. To make that worse, suffered his kinsman Mortimer, who is, if every owner were well placed indeed, his king, to be engaged in Wales, there without ransom to lie forfeited. Disgraced me in my happy victories, sought to entrap me by intelligence. Rated mine uncle from the council board, enraged, dismissed my father from the court, broke oath on oath, committed wrong on wrong, and in conclusion, drove us to seek out this head of safety, and withal to pry into his title, though which we find too indirect for long continuance.
Shall I return this answer to the king?
Not so, Sir Walter. We'll withdraw a while. Go to the king and let there be imponed some surety for a safe return again, and in the morning, early, shall mine uncle bring him our purposes. And so farewell.
I would you would accept of grace and love.
And maybe so we shall.
Pray God you do.
Aye, good Sir Michael. Bear this seal in brief and bring it haste to the Lord Marshal. This to my cousin Scroope, and all the rest to whom they are directed. You knew how much they do import. You would make haste.
My good lord, I do guess their tenor.
Like enough you do. Tomorrow, good Sir Michael, is a day wherein the fortune of 10,000 men must bide the touch. For sir, at Shrewsbury, as I am truly given to understand, the king, with mighty and quick-raised power, meets with Lord Harry. And I fear, Sir Michael, not with the sickness of Northumberland, whose power was in the first proportion, not with Owen Glendower's absence then, Sir Witham was a rated sinew too, and comes not in or ruled by prophecies. I fear the power of Percy is too weak to wage an instant trial with the king.
Doubt not, my lord, they shall be well opposed.
I hope no less. Yet needful 'tis to fear, and to prevent the worst, Sir Michael, speed. For if Lord Percy thrive not, ere the king dismiss his power, he means to visit us. For he hath heard of our confederacy, and 'tis but wisdom to make strong against him. Therefore make haste. I must go right again to other friends. And so farewell, Sir Michael.